Hello, everyone. Welcome to Core Concepts for Office 365 Admin Support Skills. We're going to discuss in this module deployment of Office 365, specifically piloting your tenant and getting all the stuff set up to deploy a hybrid configuration. First off, though, we're going to discuss Office 365 free trial account, and this is really great because it helps users understand, it helps administrators test the Office 365 tenant out to make sure that it can support what they're looking for and is in line with their IT strategy. So, there are several objectives here. First off, we're going to discuss what type of deployment options are out there. Depending on the size and the business purpose, there's going to be different types of deployment that works for you. Larger companies often have single sign-on with ADFS. We now, as of last year, we offer DIR sync with password sync, as well as tenant-only accounts where everybody is in the cloud without on-prem environment. To get started with a trial account is really easy. They literally only ask you for your name, phone number, and business. And I think I have a site up here to just a quick peek. You know, five lines, next, give, and then it'll ask you to create an ID, and you got a test tenant. And it doesn't get simpler than that. To help you predict what some of the behaviors might be and whether or not this is right for you. And finally, we're going to discuss how to configure Office 365 to meet your business needs and user needs. In that effort, we have several exercises planned for you throughout this module. And without further ado, Michael will take you through it.
That's right. And our first exercise is trying to find a trial tenant, which Dale already brought up. So good luck with that.
While starting with a trial account is the most common way people to familiarize with Office 365, but Microsoft also offers an option called Fast Track Pilot Deployment. This allows our customers with 150 users or more to be able to actually test a IT environment where Microsoft assists with the deployment and actually find out if the Office 365 environment is right for the customer. Oftentimes there is various incentives in prices, but what's important here is that there is various limits. However, signing up is very easy. If you go to deploy.office.com, which is our deployment center for Office 365, is the first option available. It's going to ask you for some contact information, and then it's going to immediately ask you to sign up, where you'll be able to find the information you need for this exercise. And then once you're familiar with Fast Track Deployment, Mike will help you with the next exercise.
All right, everyone, welcome back. Hope you guys had a lot of fun with Fast Track. And we're gonna talk about Office Pro Plus right now and the benefits of that. The benefit of Office Pro Plus is that you can download it from the portal and it automatically updates your client as you go. No more, you know, downloading updates, having them being pushed out by your administrators. So that's a good benefit, you know, being moving forward in your environment and always being up to date. You know, we see a lot of issues where, you know, customers can't connect to Office 365 due to an outdated client. So always being up to date definitely helps. And I want to show you on my screen where you can download this. So after you log into the portal, over here on the right, you have download software. You can click on that. It will show you what you can download and which devices you've already activated this on. So per user, you can download it 5 times and activate it 5 times on separate systems. This also means that you could give it to your wife, your kid, your son, daughter, and they can use it. Click install here and it will install. If you want the 64-bit, you can select the 64-bit. If you want a different language, you can do a different language. So, and there's also some more information on Office 365 Pro Plus here in addendum. So if you have any further questions, you probably will find an answer right here. So that being said, on to our next exercise, which is finding more resources for Office 365 Pro Plus.
Okay, so once you are familiar with types of deployment, the next step is to understand how you're going to provide access to users. And the cloud is much like your on-prem. It depends on Active Directory. It depends on DNS and having the proper information to allow users to connect the resources as well as provide access and authorize users to the Office 365 resources. The objective here is we're going to discuss the basics of Active Directory structure, how the organizational units are set up. We're going to talk about the logical structure of the Active Directory structure and talk about various types of DNS terms as well as how it is used for Office 365. So to start off with, Active Directory is very important. And when we're supporting Office 365, we often say AD is king. And the reason for that is because for most customers, everything is going to be controlled through AD, and specifically on-premise AD. Azure AD, which is Office 365 identity portion, it has its own AD. However, it refers to your customers on-premise as an authoritative resource. So for instance, if you're connecting for your email, then it's going to contact Exchange Online for your email. Exchange Online is going to check with the Office 365 AD, which is going to confirm with the on-premise AD to provide access. So being familiar with how Active Directory is set up is very important, as well as having a clean Active Directory. Oftentimes, there's quite a few duplicate addresses, names, IDs over many years of managing an AD for a company. And it really comes out to the surface when they decide to go to Office 365 and they all of a sudden have to clean up several hundred thousand objects. And we need to troubleshoot why a user can't access Office 365, and it makes it much more difficult. You don't have the understanding of AD, how authentication works, and how it works with Office 365. DNS is the domain naming system, and it's essentially the phone book of the internet. It tells users how to access their service when they want to access email, SharePoint, other Office 365 URLs. They simply need to type it or click on a button. The rest will be done by looking up the domain naming system on-prem and sending users to the right location. Specifically in Office 365, we require quite several DNS records in order to provide access to Exchange Online, such as Exchange Online, SharePoint Online, Link Online, as well as authenticating through AD. We do publish all our IPs. So in addition to making sure that the DNS records are in place, you're going to want to be familiar with published networking information from Microsoft. The DNS record in Office 365 is specifically used for routing mail. If you want all your mail to take advantage of the EOP to filter spam and malware and viruses, you will want to point the DNS to the cloud where Office 365 will accept mail on behalf of the tenant. In addition, with SharePoint, if a user is trying to look up something, it's DNS that's going to point to the user to Office 365. So what's really important to understand here is having the proper records set is going to help you avoid problems down the road. But more importantly, the information workers are not going to have to understand how their data is being transferred. It's going to be very seamless and natural to them. So to help clarify how DNS works in Office 365, Michael's going to help you get through, go through some of these exercises with you and help discuss with you some of the considerations you need to make when configuring DNS to work with Office 365.
That's right. So I hope you guys are ready, and we're going to have some fun with some exercises. The first exercise, we're going to talk about Active Directory logical structure. And like Dale said, Active Directory is king. It is important. And a lot of the times we run into, you know, customers that have legacy upon legacy upon legacy attributes still there. You know, domains that they've once acquired are still lingering around, and when they try to migrate a user, they can't because that domain has not been verified in Office 365. And such things just keep on popping up, old legacy public folders, et cetera, like that. So when cleaning up your Active Directory structure, you got to look through all your organizational units, your domains, your domain trees, your site links, forests, and everything like that. And I just named all those logical structures for you. So that's one of the answers for your exercise. So that being said, let's move on to that exercise. Hey everyone, welcome back. So I hope you had fun with that last exercise. Got some more to talk about DNS right now. And I'm just gonna go straight to a demo on my screen. And it'd be a better way to illustrate what's going on with DNS. Let me bring that up. All right, DNS. So common mistakes that I see with DNS is that people have a split brain DNS. So what does split brain DNS mean? So they have an internal domain like mine. Mine is called .local, and their external domain is a .com, obviously. So if I were to do a ping, and let's say, what do we care about? We care about my Exchange 2013 server. This should bring back an external IP address like it did just now, right? So split brain, what that is that someone created another one here. You know, we go through this primary zone, and sure, why not? Let's call this one michaelblock.com. Absolutely, finish. Now we have a nice DNS zone here for all my michaelblock.com stuff, which isn't uncommon for it to happen. You know, it's just an extra overhead for management. But right now, if I were to clean up my cache for DNS and try and ping that same IP address, it will not resolve. And why is it not resolving? Because it is not here. So if I were to add that same host name and go to my 2013 server, always add a PTR record. If you don't know what a PTR record is, you'll see that in a video later on. Let's try this again. Let's flush out my DNS, ping that same thing, and now I get an internal address. So effectively what that means is it still will bring me to the same exact server that I want it to go to, except it's not going over the internet, it is using the local intranet. So let me remove this guy again because I do not want to mess up the rest of my infrastructure. There we go. Let's see, what else can I talk about DNS? And we have some more things about DNS. What you need for Office 365 typically are your MX records, which is your mail router. We have text records that authenticate that you own that domain. So do a quick check on to see if everything is there as it should be. I should do this somewhere on a different computer. Oh, bring that one up. Let's do it on this guy over here. And we'll grab my domain again. So at some point you're going to see that I've had to verify my domain, and it should bring up a couple text records. See, this is one of them. This is how Office 365 knows that you own the domain. It also makes you add this one and this one here. So this SPF record, that is something else that makes sure that spam gets blocked if it's not sent from this domain. Let's see, let's check out the MX records. MX, same domain. And as you can see, my MX records point to Office 365, so I don't have to deal with spam filtering, malware, and all that other fun stuff that lurks around in the world. So, you know, that will be your next exercise, is to do things with DNS. So have fun with that, guys. Hey, all right, welcome back. We got some more fun stuff for you guys. I want to talk about some domains and go straight to a demo on my screen again. So we're here in the portal, and we're going to talk about domains, vanity domains, routing domains, and let me find domains right here. So the standard domain that you get is whatever you chose as a tenant name, .onmicrosoft.com, and it shows as a default. All right, you cannot change this one. This is what you get. Managing the DNS doesn't really do much here. So we're going to add a domain if you have a domain. I already have one, but we're just going to go through the steps so you can see what it is. All right, we need to know about domains and DNS. So let's get started. Well, let's type in a random name here. And I'm typing it wrong because it's not the right one. So like I said in the earlier one about the DNS stuff, it says you need to add a text record to verify that you own this domain. And seeing as I don't own this domain, I can't verify it. But what I can show you is a domain that I did own or do own. Let's go back and see what the records are for that one. And for this one, I'm actually going to remove it again. All right, manage DNS for my own domain. So mail record, we showed that one. CNAME record, they want auto-discover to go to the cloud, which I did not do, and I will explain later why. Here's another text record for the SPF that makes sure that spam gets blocked. We haven't talked about server records, but these are particular for a service record. Sorry, link online. And here are some more CNAME records for link. And some more stuff. So for me, it actually shows an error message. Why does it show an error message? Let's find and fix the issue. All right, so my mail record is fine, okay. Auto-discover is not pointing to outlook.com. Interesting, so where is my auto-discover pointing to? Set type is all. Let's do auto-discover.com. All right, so that points to my external IP address of my on-premise server. So what is the reason behind that thought? Well, the first reason is I still have on-premise users. All right, these are all my on-premise users. And if I don't have an auto-discover record pointed to my on-premise server, it will never authenticate those, or never, not authenticate, but it will never auto-discover those users on-premise. So once I finally made a final cutover that all my users are in the cloud, this is when I would cut over to this hostname here. So what I also want to talk about is the routing domain a little bit more. And what that means, let's see the segue over here. This is my on-premise server and the default policy. As you can see here, the primary email address would be alias@michaeltheblock.com, and the secondary would be alias@michaeltheblock.mail.onmicrosoft.com. So what that means is that if I have used a moved a user over and they try to email this email address, it will automatically grab this email address and know to go into the cloud. How does it know that? Well, we have a send connector here specifically for Office 365. Let's see, is it this one here? Scoping, so if it has this email domain, it will start sending to the cloud. And I'll use my Edge server here and go through. See what I can show some more over here. So let's grab another on-premise user, and here you will see that same routing domain again. So all the users that I have, even the ones in the cloud, and this is one of them. Let's grab this guy. This one also has that routing domain, so it could also route to on-premise if it were vice versa. So enough said about the domains. Let's go on to the exercise and you discover some more about that. Hey, all right, welcome back. I hope you learned from my lesson back there and enjoyed the exercise. So for this next upcoming exercise, it's actually more video and some more videos to have some fun with. So we'll see you back when you're done. Hey guys, welcome back. So got some more fun stuff for you. And we're gonna deep dive a little bit more into DNS and verifying records. And let's go straight to my screen so you can see what I mean. Let's open up NS Lookup. And a little bit earlier, I showed you some other demos on verifying domains and verifying some other records. So we already showed you some text records, which brought these back. And you can also do that for other domains if you have a bunch of other ones. So MichaelBlock is mine. I have another test domain here. That's this. Also brings back the verified domain text record, which I have here as well, and the SPF record. So I want to do a domain that I don't own, but still try and see what it gives me back. Let's do Contoso. And it does. It does give me something back. And it gives me an MS more number. And I think I have that one somewhere here. See, that's right here. So that means this domain has also been verified for Office 365. Let's try another one. This one just has an SPF record. All right, so if it's sent from this IP range, then it's not spam. Good stuff. So let's try and do this guy. Let's do a CNAME. Auto discover. There you go, that one worked. Let's do one for Contoso. Let's see if they have an exchange server for that. Doesn't look like it. Let's try for Fabricam. Ooh, could not be found. So Fabricam could not be found for that record. Contoso just didn't show up. And for me, it gave back this IP address. So there are some ways to verify externally outside of your own DNS or your internal DNS to see if it's available externally, which is a good test. Because let's try and find my 2013 server. That should be in there as well. That's not a CNAME record, that's actually an A record. This is A, I think that's the right method for it. If not, we'll circle back. And it did, so we got mail. Got my 2010 server. That one did not want to work, oh. Got my legacy one, that one came back, good stuff. So it's a good to know that these servers are available, and it kind of shows me that for some reason my 2010 server is not available externally. So that gives me a good point to check that out later. And this is a good time for you to work on your exercise. And we'll see you back in a couple minutes. All right, welcome back. So we got some more fun stuff, and we're going to talk about this next exercise, which is mix and matching DNS records. So I already gave you a couple examples in the previous exercises on what kind of records are out there. We got your service record, we got an A record, we got a CNAME record, also known as Conical record, Conical name. We got a IPv6 one, which is quadruple A. Which other ones do we have out there? MX record, we've got mail record, text records, and that's pretty much it. There's probably more out there. These are the ones that I know off the top of my head, so enjoy this one in your exercise and have fun. Hey, welcome back. I hope you had fun with that previous exercise. We got another one for you, and a bunch of them I gave the answers to you already, so this one should be easy. See you back in a couple. Hey everyone, welcome back. And we're going to continue on this DNS train, and we're going to keep on hammering about it because DNS is that important. DNS is also key. If AD is king, DNS is the queen. It cannot be one without the other. I want to show you some things on my screen, and that's some more information resources on DNS. TechNet is full of DNS information. I would definitely have a look at this if you're not too familiar with DNS at all. There are a bunch of TechNet articles. Best practices is definitely one to look at. Checklists on how to configure things. RFCs are in there. Concepts even, understanding DNS, deploying. Let's do deploying. You know, namespace, zone, top level domain structures, and all that fun stuff. And the best way to get information is go to Bing, type in TechNet. Oh, if I can spell today, TechNet DNS. And it'll give you a giant list of information. Going to that first one will bring us to the one that you just saw. So have fun with this exercise, and we'll see you back in a couple minutes.
All right, everybody, let's go ahead and dive into deploying an Office 365 trial account. Everybody in this class that's taking this class should take the opportunity to sign up for a trial account. This is very important because this is where the customers get to actually try out the service before committing to it. For us, we have this benefit, but we also have the option of using the trial to test, especially if you're supporting. A lot of our customers out there run multiple tenants. They have a test tenant, and then they have a production tenant. Oftentimes, they do a test tenant to be able to answer questions they may have, as well as going through their planning checklist, and it comes in very, very useful. In addition, once you have your trial tenant, it's very, very smooth. You will get an email with your credential. The person that signs up is going to be the point of contact for this tenant. And as soon as you sign in, you're going to be able to manage the user accounts. You're going to be able to see all the features that Office 365 console allows to do. And some of this would include seeing what the health of the service is at a given time, as well as user managing, provisioning, and licensing. So the next several exercises are going to be centered around this, and Michael is going to be able to go through it with you.
I hope you're excited for what's coming next. We're going to sign up for a trial tenant account, and I'm going to show you my screen and how to do that. So how do I get there? You know, what's the best way to get to that site to sign up for a trial tenant account? Type in this, Office 365 Enterprise E3, and it'll give you a link, and you want this guy right here. And there's a free trial, and you get this screen. An easier way to get there is deploy.office.com. Scroll down a little bit to getting started with Fast Track, learn more, and for Enterprise, sign up here. Give it the same screen. And let's do a sign up. Type in my name, email address, which is obviously fake, phone number, which is also not real, guys, sorry. And on to the next. Enter a username. Let's do administrator. And 0365 is the best. It's still there. Great. Type the password and go to next. Uh-oh. Yep. I'm going to have to verify my phone number. And seeing as I didn't type in the right phone number, it's not going to work. But I assume that once you guys do this, you'll type in your correct phone number and you can either get a text message on your cell phone or give you a call on your cell phone or a landline. So that being said, if you would go to next, it will give you a sign in and a verification number, and then you will be able to log into your tenant. To log into your tenant, we're going to go to portal.office.com and you'll get this screen. Type whatever username you typed in before and your tenant name. In this case, it is my actual name. Type in the password and it'll log you in. And this is a screen that you will see. Later on, you'll see a video and we'll kind of dissect the differences between them. So have fun with this exercise and we'll see you back in a couple minutes. Hey, welcome back. I hope everything worked out creating that trial tenant for yourself and that you got an awesome name. Next thing that we're going to do right now is going to watch a video on how the Office 365 Admin Center looks like. So have fun with that. It's about 15 minutes and we'll see you back then. Hey guys, welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that video. I want to show you the new portal, how it looks, because it looks a little bit different from what you saw. And expect new changes to come over time and to look things to look a little different. So I think the biggest change from what you saw earlier is that your bar is a little smaller here, and you have Outlook, SharePoint, Link, and all that other fun stuff at the top, calendar. Here, we go to the top left, and this is now where you have all your items, Outlook, Calendar, People, OneDrive, Sites, and your admin page. You know, clicking admin will get you back here. And another big change is over here at the bottom under admin, where you will see Exchange, Link, SharePoint, Azure AD, Bing, and somewhere in the future, we will have compliance management. Compliance management will tie into all the compliance stuff, such as in-place hold, e-discovery, and all that other fun stuff. So have some fun clicking around and enjoy this next exercise.
All right, thank you very much, Michael. So to sum it up, we've shown you a couple different ways that you can set up your test tenant. We've shown you how to go set up your DNS, what DNS is. We've discussed Office Pro Plus and how simple it is for you to download and deploy for user, as well as keep it up, and went over the admin view for Office 365 and how to familiarize yourself with the Office 365 admin console. So thank you, and we'll talk to you in the next module when we'll discuss identity in Office 365.
Yeah, I'm excited. See you guys there.